You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where the Wilson episode is not a step backwards. I see you, Allie Joy Rose. And by the way, what am I supposed to do? Lock the cat in the bathroom? It sounds like you're advocating animal cruelty. I'm going to sick PETA on you. Joining me this trip via Skype. Via GChat. You know, I said pre-show I wasn't going to do that anymore, but I still did it. From our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards. How are you, Daniel, on this election day?
Well, I couldn't be happier that we're going to stop seeing election ads for a while. Obviously, this is the beginning of the nonsense that will last for the next 4 years, but at least we won't have to deal with the insufferable television ads telling us that it's the end of the world. We may be the only podcast with esoteric references in our opening to its own iTunes reviews.
It's interactive with the audience. We're an interactive podcast.
Is that what we are? All right. Fine. Keep telling yourself that. But yes,
that's what I tell myself when I snap dick pics to our audience members.
It's interactive. It's a whole new level of show interaction. We are up to 17. Did you hear that? 17 five-star reviews on the iTunes, which is outstanding because even reviews that are critical, like Allie Joy Rose's, but she was very positive. She said we had great banter. I like having great banter.
Banter she's awesome. Positive to everyone on the show except me, and it's my fucking show.
Yeah, you are kind of bringing it down. Yeah. It's all right, though. We'll get you up. Yes, and. Lots of yes anding. We'll get you there.
Thank you so much. I am above the law.
I am the midside. Thank you so much, everyone who's given us a review on iTunes. It really helps us grow when you type in the mid. We're like on that list now. Officially, Welcome to the Midside comes up in iTunes, which is fantastic. Loving those search rankings. So if you haven't and you're inclined, yeah, go over to iTunes. Give us a five-star review. Good things, bad things, indifferent things. If you like the cats in the background, if you hate the cats in the background, if you think Justin shouldn't be the host of the show, if you think he should.
Is Justin setting the show back? Is Justin a step backwards?
I'm appreciative of all of our audience members. Even the ones, and maybe especially the ones who are critical of Justin. Okay.
I'm most appreciative of the ones that are critical of me. And you know what? They can be critical of me again because I forgot to say tell a friend at the top of the show.
That's right.
I went off script. That's because Elliot's late. I don't know what to do.
That's right. Oh, those gays. Can't get anywhere on time.
Is that true?
In a traffic accident, though. I don't know.
Let's be clear. I just want to be clear. Elliot is not in a traffic accident. He is in traffic due to an accident.
My phrasing of that, not good. I suspect. Elliot is alive. He's missing one leg, and he's permanently blind. But other than that, he's fine, and he'll be here in about 30 minutes.
Is he a character on The Walking Dead now? That's what you just described.
Are there characters still alive in The Walking Dead? I thought by now it would just be naturalistic camera shots of zombies walking by in real time.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. And then every once in a while they cut to a live person who's like, why are we still alive? But we can't give up.
Yeah, you should give up.
Maybe we should all give up because of what the California government has recently banned. You ready to talk about that, Daniel?
Oh my God, yes.
Let's do it in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This
Voters, on this fine election day, there's one thing you cannot do if you're in the state of California, and that is take a ballot selfie. Yes, a recent ruling by a federal judge upheld a law that bans photography of your ballots. So don't do that shit, otherwise you could be fined. Indeed, the ACLU filed an injunction against the state's ban on voter selfies, but Judge William Alsup said, oh, no. This is a very long-standing law, and I would be a fool to overturn it. In fact, Alsup went into this long tirade about how this law is not so simple and not just a simple little piece of free speech law. He says, quote, will a voter be allowed to go into a voting booth and use one of those sticks so that the voter makes sure his face is in it and check it to make sure it picks up everything? Then let's say they don't get everything. Can they try again? How many times can they keep trying? What if they don't like the smile on their face? They have to get the smile, the face, the ballot, all just right. And should not be made at the last second. Meaning the last second before voting day. So what say you, Justin? Is our ballot selfies an affront to all that is law and order in this country?
I think this judge is secretly an Instagram user. He was very specific, or is it a she? I don't even know. It doesn't matter.
William.
Okay, a he. It's in California, though, so it could be a transgender person.
I don't know what he identifies as. That's right.
I don't want to gender shame him or pronoun shame him. Mm-hmm. No, I will, though. He is very specific about all the different considerations you must think about when taking a ballot selfie.
Someone has taken a selfie or two before there. Judge Alsup? I almost called him Judge Asslip, which I don't think is his name.
Does he bust out the selfie stick before he like gives a judgment in court?
Yeah, pulling it out with the gavel in it right before he's about to rule.
Like, have you ever been at a show where the band is like, okay, we're going to take a selfie of us with everyone in the crowd right now? Does he do that with everyone in the courtroom?
If you're guilty, hands up in the air. Gotcha.
Can he throw you out for not participating? What do they do? They throw you out for disorderly conduct? Is that what it is? No.
Disorderly conduct. Being held in contempt of court.
That's it.
You mean?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thanks.
Exactly. That makeup's in contempt of court. It's never going to go on my Instagram page. But speaking of judges and social media, are you familiar with one Justice Don Willett? Of the Supreme Court justices in Texas.
What you talking about, Willett?
He is a social media master. This guy is all over the social medias. He's very funny. You should follow him. I think it's at Justice Willett on Twitter. Now I'm second guessing myself, but you can find it if you search for Don Willett, a little character picture of him. In fact, the Texas legislature, I believe, maybe the story is apocryphal, gave him an honorary piece of paper naming him the Twitter laureate of Texas.
Is he the first ever Twitter laureate of any place?
I don't know. It's a very good question. But he is genuinely funny. He does some panels that I've seen before. He'll moderate panels. And he will live tweet his own panels. Which is awesome.
How old is this guy? He sounds like a millennial.
He's, I don't know, 40s, late 30s? I don't know how old he is.
And
he's
awesome.
How has he
not been attacked by Kanye West or Kim Kardashian yet?
He probably has. I don't know. So, ballot selfies.
Yeah, here's
First Amendment right or nonsense?
Well, this is the irony of this entire fucking thing. There is a proposition, I believe it's Prop 64, and the fact that I know that and I don't even do drugs, for the legalization of marijuana on the ballot right now in California. And we're banning ballot selfies? Like, am I the only one who sees the irony there? Like, you can smoke weed before you go in and vote next time, but you can't take a picture of yourself with the ballot.
But what about voter intimidation? People could be, I don't know, intimidated.
So this is a microaggression? If I post a picture of my ballot on Instagram, that's a microaggression? Is that what you're saying?
They could be intimidated for their vote. I don't, it's all sort of specious arguments.
So if I vote for Donald Trump and I post the picture, do I have to put a trigger warning on the picture?
Well, the trigger warning will be a guy posting on the picture, I'm going to kill you for voting Donald Trump. That will be the trigger warning that you get. But deeper question, we don't have to get into much, but it's something we should consider for a later show, which is actually judicial philosophy, which is, regardless of whether or not you think there should be ballot selfies, did this judge do the correct thing in simply upholding the law and not overturning it based on what he thinks the law should be?
Well, that was what I was, the other thing I was going to ask you. I didn't know it was illegal to take a photograph of a ballot. Like, I couldn't have gone in there in the 90s with a Polaroid camera and taken a picture.
No, that definitely would have gotten you arrested.
This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, if this, like, I just don't understand. Like, this country's supposed to be based upon freedom, and the concretization of that freedom is supposed to be voting. And you can't even publicly share, if you so choose, how you voted?
No.
Like,
no.
That seems like the most anti-American thing I've ever heard of.
Well, you have not heard the next story yet. That's a transition right there. Because what I'm about to tell you is the most anti-American thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. Kansas City, Missouri, the American Royal at the Kansas Speedway this week, which is a race, and from what I can discern from this, a sort of barbecue competition. After the competition is over, volunteers collect the thousands of pounds of perfectly good barbecue from this annual event, also sides, collards, mac and cheese, fucking beans, all the good sides, and they provide it to the homeless and the needy in the community. But no, not this year. The Kansas City Health Department apparently pulled up in their little Kansas City Health Department vehicles and said, you cannot give this food to the needy or the homeless because you don't have the right permits, and we can't guarantee that this food is safe. Do with the 3,000 pounds of meat and 1,200 pounds of sides. You want to take a guess?
No, I hate guessing games.
Fuck you. They threw it. Yes, this is why you're bringing the show down. Yes, and they threw it in the dumpster. Okay, 3,000 pounds of meat, 1,200 pounds of sides in the dumpster. Not only did they put it in the dumpster, but apparently some homeless people were trying to fish it out of the dumpster, so they poured bleach on it so that it would be 100% unedible and unsafe to eat, in fact, poisonous. This is not only an affront to homelessness and feeding people, which, fine, if you think that's virtuous, you're a wonderful human being, whatever. This is an affront to barbecue. You are poisoning 3,000 pounds of barbecue. What the fuck are you doing?
Haven't they ever heard of leftovers?
No.
But when you talk about them pulling up in their health department vehicles, you know what that makes me think of? The health inspector on Bob's Burgers.
I couldn't think of the show quick enough, but yes, exactly.
That's
the little van he drives around in.
Yeah, Hugo. This is only something that Hugo could have done, right?
Yes, absolutely. With the mobile testing lab in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Why was this considered too unhealthy for hungry people to eat?
Because the state has to keep us safe, Justin. And it doesn't matter if the people are hungry or homeless or needy. It's our job to keep them safe. And we couldn't guarantee this barbecue is safe.
You know what's
Therefore,
less
we had to pour bleach on it. We could guarantee it was unsafe.
You know what's less safe than mildly tainted barbecue?
Sorry.
Hunger. Starvation.
Yes, indeed. This is one of the things where apparently when we're talking about regulation and you talk with the normal everyday human being about regulation, the thing that they think we need regulation most for things we consume. Because basically the public believes that if there was no government regulation, restaurants would poison all of their customers. Fucking Heinz and Keebler would put arsenic in their various chocolates and cookies. And without government inspections, we would just all be dropping dead from botulism day in and day out. But then you have this fucking nonsense that so clearly demonstrates why the government does not, in fact, have a role in keeping us safe from food. Food had been dangerous. Then yes, if someone got sick, they could sue. If someone died, they could certainly sue. But this has been a tradition going on for years with no complaints, no victims, no one saying that the food served was making their little tummy hurt for a while, or you know, smelled bad or had gone rotten or whatever. And yet the government had to step in and intervene and say, look, we know better. You don't get to make the decisions about what you put in your body. We do. Bleach on barbecue. The most offensive thing I could possibly have thought of today, and it's election day.
It's what you're talking about is a complete misunderstanding of capitalism. And what I'm talking about is, if you look at nowadays, everything is moving to a subscription-based model. You have mm-hmm. to subscribe mm-hmm. to Netflix, to Hulu, to Spotify. And they even have subscription boxes where once a month, or however, twice a month, every couple months, whatever it is you sign up for, a part of your money goes to this company, whatever company you sign up for. For instance, Funko owns a percentage of my paycheck. That is the ideal form of capitalism. They basically want you to subscribe to their company. That is antithetical to the idea of poisoning your customers or giving them defective goods, because people are not going to come back to that. And this is because the people who are saying this have a short-term perspective. They only think in the short term, oh, what can I do to succeed right now? You could argue it's emotionalist. I don't know if I would go that far. I'll throw that to you, Daniel. But it's a short-term perspective. How do I solve my problem immediately? When really the only way to solve problems and be successful is to have a long-term system in place that achieves the productivity you're looking for. And people can't conceptualize yeah. that because they're, as I said, short-term thinkers, which is arguably emotionalists.
Yeah, yeah. It's very short-term. It's very, how do we justify our giant paychecks and enormously stupid budget that we have? Oh, we're going to go stop the people from eating. By the way, they're estimating that this probably caused about 3,000 plus people to go without meals that they were expecting after this. So well done there, Kansas City. By the way, short other food-related story that I'd read about. I don't know the details, but basically there was an undercover sting operation where this woman was at a potluck, church potluck or something, I believe it was in Texas, and someone came up to her and said, now she was at a potluck, so they were just sharing food, and she was not there to sell food or whatever, but an undercover person came up to her and asked her if she'd be willing to sell some of her homemade ceviche to him. And she said, well, I'd never considered it, but yeah, I'd be happy to sell some to you. And he fucking arrested her because she was selling food without a permit. She now faces up to a year in prison. How insane is that?
How at least insane have the good state got on the food in prison when she's there?
good prison cook.
Yeah.
Jesus, how insane is that? All right,
that's entrapment, isn't it?
That's what I said. That has to be entrapment. That is quintessential entrapment.
Although, true story, here's a little fact you don't learn from TV: police officers do not have to identify themselves as police officers if you ask them. That is a myth for television.
I figured that was a myth. Nonetheless, this has to be entrapment. She wasn't there to sell. Someone approached her about selling. Anyway, fuck the government. Gary Johnson, 2016. only wants to sort of lightly stroke the government. He's not really into fucking it so much as, you know.
I think he would want to do that, and then he would smoke weed and forget he wanted to do that.
Was I going to do something to the government? I think I was going to blow the government. That's what I was going to do. Excellent. Moving forward. Harvard canceled the rest of the men's soccer season after finding out that the men kept an extensive guide to the women's soccer team's looks and sexual proclivities and all manner of other things. Harvard announced last Thursday, that it was canceling the rest of the season, even though Harvard is doing particularly well in the soccer season, as I do recall. Harvard's number one in the Ivy League standings with a 4-0-1 conference record, a 10-3-2 overall, with only two regular season games remaining.
Number one in the Ivy League with a 4-0, you say?
Zing. Zing! Yes. So what the hell was this? It was the New York Times article was very vague about what this is, so I went directly to the Harvard Crimson, the school paper, which is the one that sort of unveiled this thing. And it's basically a team tradition started, from what they can tell, in 2012, which evaluated incoming freshman recruits for the women's soccer teams and ranked them based on their perceived physical attractiveness and sexual appeal. The authors called it a scouting report.
It's their fuckability. They're rating the freshmen on their fuckability.
Yeah. They would give them everything for other than the rating, but also, like, they would assign them a sexual position, much like the article clarifies, in addition to her position on the soccer field. So, like, this is a quote from the article. She seems relatively simple and probably inexperienced sexually, so I decided missionary would be her preferred position. One woman, other listed things were doggy style, the triple Lindy, and cowgirl as possible positions for the women. The author also assigned each woman a nickname, calling one woman Gumby because, quote, her teeth to tooth ratio is about 1-1. Her gum to tooth ratio. Sorry, I messed that up, but it was still funny.
Wouldn't you want to name her Pokey then? That was the name of the horse, right?
Zing. Bitey. One woman seems to be very strong, tall, and manly, so I gave her a 3 because I felt bad. Not much needs to be said on this one, folks. Others were a little more explicit, including author wrote, yeah, this one wants the cock. So,
I'm gonna
your
take this
soccer team did in college with the women?
I'm going to take this in a different direction than you might expect.
Or is this we're going to have to send hate mail to at the midside on Twitter?
Probably, but you know that's expected.
Okay.
And we're not going to get bro-y here. Don't worry.
Thinking of myself as bro-y makes me all funny inside.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, maybe she just was on my Snapchat and saw that I go to the gym a lot. I don't know. I don't even snap the gym that often. Whatever. So I have a question for you based upon this. I thought that athletes came out and said, this isn't locker room talk, that this doesn't actually happen in locker rooms. That's what I was told by the media.
That is a funny direction to take this in. But my first thought when I read the story was locker room talk. And I thought Donald Trump was right.
He is right about that.
Yeah, this is locker room talk. I mean, more than locker room talk, certainly this whole rating of women thing seems to be a fairly universal concept among maybe not teams, but like groups of men who get together to do things. Ironically, I'd have to say that not my group of friends, because we were the virgin band geeks who would never even considered this, but
I agree with what you're saying. But
yeah,
we have done this just on a classier level, and what I mean by that is this is a bonding experience for guys, because what they're doing is they're figuring out their preferences and their dislikes. And now I'm gonna try really hard not to virtue signal right now, because I hear Midsider Katrina in my head saying, like, stop white knighting, blah, blah, blah. My intent is not to morally decry these people. I do not understand this behavior, because as Daniel just said, I was never part of that, right? I was the virgin all the way through college, through grad school as well. And this, I did not think that way. I did not think like, here, there's a girl, what would she do sexually? Like, that didn't enter my mind at that age. I still don't really think that way. But you and I, Daniel, have had discussions about what we prefer and what we don't prefer. And what the difference in our tastes are. That's all this is. They're just doing it on a juvenile, crude, uneducated level.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I would argue that there is one thing that is wrong with this list, and it's not the sexualization of the women, and it's not the crassness of it.
It's that they didn't publish it publicly?
No.
Oh.
It's that it's a collective list. And what I mean by that is, it's saying that this is the one standard of all these women on this list. This is the way everyone thinks of these women.
Yeah.
When everyone on the team would have a different preference for all of them.
So you would have preferred if they each had their own list.
Yes. Actually, yes, well, 100%.
At least you're consistent. I'll give you that.
And I will say this. I'm going to throw something back to you here. What about the feminist point that these men, because they're doing it for the freshmen, if they're acting like they have dominion over these freshman women, would you say that they're doing that?
I don't. Anytime feminism gets into the psychologizing, I'm immediately out. You know that. I just don't do the psychologizing thing. I don't think anyone's good at it, so we shouldn't do it. It's just nonsense.
Psychologist, you're fired, my therapist.
You know what I mean. Amateurs shouldn't do it. We're not good at it. And so the feminists get into this a lot, you know. Oh, he did that because he wants to show that he's dominating a female. Like, you don't know what the fuck he's thinking. Stop it. You're horrible at it.
I know what they're thinking.
Go back to the kitchen.
Can I explain what they're thinking?
I want to have sex with this 18-year-old?
Correct. Also, you forgot another premise in there. I've already tried and either been successful or more likely struck out with most of the other female soccer players. Here are new ones that don't know I'm a perv.
So here's my controversial take on this. What is it? White knighting, virtue signaling. Fine. If you disagree
with me.
White knighting
is a form of virtue signaling.
Or whatever.
But you're already married, so if you're white knighting, you are fucking in trouble. White knighting is when you act like you're a ally of feminists and women in order to get laid.
Oh, no. I interpreted it much, much differently. No. So my point is I don't know what's so bad about this that Harvard has to cancel their entire season because of this. I understand if this is not the standard you want for students. Okay, I mean, we're getting into some weird privacy, free speechy areas here that it's going to get weird in the future where we're not allowed to say anything at any time because if one email is exposed, our entire life is ruined with our career and school and everything. But I don't understand what's so bad about this that the punishment needs to be your entire season is gone. If you think it's bad, Harvard, fine. You're allowed to do that. You're a private organization. But shouldn't the punishment be apologize, promise not to do it again, maybe take a sensitivity class or something about how women are treated in sporting or in the workplace or something? But like to literally cancel the rest of the season for the team that's in first place seems insanely over the top.
Can't we just put them in a room with Abby Wambach and she'll just kick the shit out of all of them and then they'll learn that to respect female soccer players?
Yeah, there you go. Like something creative like that, you know? But maybe, I mean, is there something I'm missing about what is so horrific about this?
I'm
going to
push back
it's bad.
On you a little bit here. I agree with what you're saying if you're divorcing it from the athletic context. And my question is going to be, who canceled the season? Was it the administration or the coach?
It looks like the athletic director.
Okay, so there is a valid reason for the athletic director to have canceled the season that has to do with the program itself, And I mean the entire athletic program. So let's use a Bill Belichick principle here. Ignore the noise. How much noise did they contribute to by acting in this way?
Yeah.
Were they focused on their product on the field? And did they enable their allies to perform well on the field?
No, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. That's a little esoteric to me.
My point is,
we don't know.
Right. You don't know.
Because we don't know how it affected them. We don't know how it would affect them because they don't get to play anymore.
But what about how it affected the women? So, the point I'm just making is you can make an argument for how it affected the actual athletic product and the way you want your athletes to behave because you think that that will affect the product on the field. I mean, Chandler Jones shows up at a hospital in the middle of the night, police station in the middle of the night one night. He's traded the next offseason. Jamie Collins does something we don't even know he does, and he's gone.
But let's put this in the NFL context. Let's say we find out that the Patriots locker room is making a ranking of the new cheerleaders that come in every year, and it's sexually explicit rankings. Does Bill Belichick call off the season? Say, no, we're not going to allow these guys to play because we think this behavior is reprehensible?
No, but he would bench players involved, if not trade some of them.
Okay, maybe. Or he could just say, it's bad behavior, don't do it again, and you have to apologize, or you have to donate money to a women's charity or something. Like, then he's not going to stop them from playing. It's not going to be so severe that we're not going to allow them to participate in it, their entirety.
Right, and that's where the confounding factor comes in of social justice.
Because, again, it's like, it's not like this list was like, these are the 10 women we're going to rape this season. That was a crime. It was something where they were talking about violence or subjugation or even anything remotely close to initiating force. Gotcha. All in. Cancel the season. Punish the team. But this is, they're talking about their looks. They're talking about sexuality. They're young guys. I mean, this isn't even as sexually explicit as Donald Trump's quote unquote locker room talk.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to what I was saying to you, where the people who are canceling the season and saying this was a bad thing are the people assuming they are asserting dominion over the freshmen.
Right.
So they're taking it as an aggression. And the disturbing thing is it goes down to the deeper premise that male sexuality is a violent aggression.
Yes. And I think that's the suppressed premise here in a lot of what's being talked about in these articles, which is the fact that they show preference, the fact that they say crude things is necessarily violence because men's sexuality is violent. And I think that's disturbing. We should reject that outright. So fuck you, Harvard. Moving on.
Or don't, apparently.
Indeed. Speaking of not fucking, male birth control. It's a no-go. Sorry. We still don't have it yet. But apparently, according to Vox, it's not because men are wimps. Which is good to know, because Vox is often the first on the men are horrible train.
And that's why this is an awesome article, because I don't know if you saw this last week, Daniel. Everyone was coming out. This myth was coming out, and that's what this Vox article is a response to. Everyone was coming out with this myth that the reason male birth control doesn't exist is some of the men in the study found it too painful, so they threw it out.
Yeah, in fact, it was a USA Today headline that read, male birth control study nixed after men can't handle side effects women face daily.
Yes.
And apparently similar stories appeared at The Atlantic and The Cosmopolitan, but as Vox points out, these stories are wrong and misleading. The study was halted, quote, because it wasn't, but it wasn't because men who participated in it were wimpy. It was halted because one of the two independent committees that were monitoring the trial safety data was concerned about the high number of adverse events that men reported. And yes, the rate of side effects in the study was higher than women typically experience using hormonal birth control. In fact, of the 320 men who participated in the research, they reported 1,491 adverse events. And the researchers running the trial determined that 100 of these events were caused by the contraceptive. That is significantly higher than what women experience using hormonal birth control.
Wait, so I just want to get this straight. You said there were 300 men participating in the study.
320 men participated in the study and 900 adverse side effects. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to sidestep the 300 joke. I'm giggling like a child right now. That's three yes, times. Indeed. That's every man experiencing three adverse side effects.
Yes, indeed. But compare that to the birth control that women take, where that you have about a 2% rate of adverse side effects.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's insane. That's like a 300% yeah. rate versus a 2% rate.
Indeed. And by the way, some of these side effects, while not being like life-threatening or anything, it was like, where was the one I was reading? Nearly a quarter of participants experienced pain. Nearly half, almost half got acne. Can you imagine that? Their puberty again. By the way, the pill that women take, 70% of women report that it reduces acne for them.
Yeah, you never saw that when you were young? Girls who had really bad acne, they actually put them on the pill?
I did not see that when I was younger. No, I never thought about that. I was not someone who actually got acne. It was never an issue for me.
I didn't either, but I still look 12, so it could still be coming.
Yeah, well, if you take this birth control, so. Yeah. So, by the way, 75% of men participating in this study said that despite the higher number of adverse events, they still wanted to take this birth control. So, fuck you and women and your nonsense, ridiculous headlines.
That was going to be my argument when I was seeing that over and over again about how men didn't want birth control because it hurt too much. I was going to be like, do you really think men didn't want something that said they could fuck a lot without consequences?
Right. It's kind of not thinking that one through, right? Female social justice warriors, like, you can take this pill and nothing you can do will get the woman pregnant. Are you kidding me?
Well, and isn't that their myth of men, that we fuck indiscriminately anyway? So it contradicts their own image of men.
Yeah, indeed.
But what it really did is it showed the reason this came about is because it really showed what they're trying to really promote. It's not about creating any image of men. They will shift the image of men as long as men look worse than women. This is part of this bullshit idea that people try to put forward, that women are stronger than men and women can deal with pain easier than men. And the ultimate trump card they play here is childbirth. Now, I'm probably going to alienate our female audience who have children and maybe they're over the age of 30 or over the age of 40. Tongue in cheek, because I'm assuming we don't have that audience. If we do, hi. Yeah. But why is that the ultimate trump card? I mean, I know I'll never go through childbirth and I'll never understand what the pain is, but what about, especially back in the day, you know, in the millennial age, it's moved away from that. It's more information-based jobs. But what about blue-collar jobs where people would work 8 to 10 hours a day doing hard manual labor? And then women are war. Supposed to be stronger. War. Yeah, that's the ultimate one. Thank you. MRAs love that one, right? Who dies more in war? Who gets drafted more in war?
Well, drafting is 100% men. Die is like, what, 98% men or something? Like, yeah.
And then the other on one the they job. Try to say, fucking Daniel, have you seen this one? I dealt with this all the time. And I actually dealt with this with a girl in grad school. This fucking myth that women are smarter than men. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, it's pretty much universally accepted now.
So. Which statistically, it shows that more women are around the average intelligence, and there are more men who are dumbasses and more men who are geniuses. So you know what my response is to any woman that tells me that women are smarter than men? Maybe you need
make
to
me
stop
a sandwich.
No. Maybe you need to stop talking to the dumbasses.
Yeah, start talking to me, the genius.
Well, that's right. That's the suppressed premise.
End the meme. So a total of 8 men, by the way, in this study, I'm just reading another article on this, were basically left infertile. And this was the other thing that I saw, that people were being like, oh, people are pissed off that the male birth control did what it was supposed to do. infertile does not mean, you know, stops you from getting to have a baby right now. I mean, stop you from getting someone pregnant permanently. Permanently. And female birth control does not do that. You can stop taking female birth control and then have a baby later, like not that much longer after you stop taking it. This left 2.5% of men completely infertile. So, yeah. I don't know.
Man, how do they compensate you? Like, if you are a member of that study and you participate and they make you infertile, what do they do? Like, they're going to give you a shitload of money, don't they?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of things you sign. Like, basically saying, like, yeah, I take this risk being part of this study. Or maybe it's people who don't necessarily want children. I don't know. It's strange. It's not something I don't know how personally we want to get on the show, but, like, I have no problem wearing a condom. Like, it's pretty much guaranteed. And I would much rather do that than take hormonal treatments. I certainly am not a fan of FISA going on birth control, my wife, and luckily for me, I never had to have that argument because she is not a fan of going on birth control. She doesn't want to take any hormonal treatments.
I'm laughing because you know what I'm thinking of? The way to not get pregnant?
No.
That's what your mother yelled at the wedding.
My mother yelled at the wedding. I don't want to repeat my mother yelled at the wedding. The podcast has moved on from those days. My mother yelled an obscenity from podcast days of yore when we were quoting Adam Carolla's solution to solving population crisis in Africa, where he said that men should pull out and spill their seed upon the chest of their mates instead.
And she yelled that during my speech to end the night. It was very amazing.
That's right. My mother, the tactful one.
But in there, Daniel, in this discussion, you mentioned medicine, and you mentioned things that are strange. That sounds very similar to a movie we're going to talk about. You ready?
No.
You better be, because we're going to talk about Doctor Strange in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Put me into syndication, broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. I need a rerun to better cast the next series of events. In the air timeline lapse, my made-for-TV type was written off in the last season when I wasn't focused on... Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Well, that's a perfect transition into the segment here. I figured you didn't watch it.
I was going to, in fact, say that. So I can give a long-winded review here, but apparently my monologuing is not very good. So do you have any questions about this movie, Daniel?
Should I see it?
If you like Benedict Cumberbatch, Mads Mikkelsen, or any of the other actors, I would suggest seeing it. Because the strength of this movie was by far the acting. Like, it was entertaining just to watch these people do everything they can with this material.
Well, that sounds painful. Should I see it in 3D IMAX?
If there was a movie to see in 3D IMAX... You know, by the way, I love the fact that it seems like these are canned questions. They're not at all.
We have not rehearsed this because we don't rehearse.
If there is a movie to see in 3D IMAX, it is actually this movie. It's very similar to a lot of what they did in Inception. If you think about the scenes with Ellen Page in the city and all of it folding into each other and such, they did that. Although I will say, one of my biggest problems in the movie was that's how the movie opened. So you don't even see Benedict Cumberbatch to start. You see Mads Mikkelsen and his team of evil sorcerers run away from the good sorcerers, and everyone's like waving their hands at each other and like bending reality and shit. People must have thought I was an asshole because I laughed through the entire opening because it's decontextualized.
Yeah.
Like you have a natural starting point in this movie. The natural entry point is, we're all like Doctor Strange, especially in the Marvel Universe, where there has been no magic yet. And Doctor Strange is very cynical, very skeptical of there being magic in reality. So if you use that as the entry point, you can slowly build up to it. But they had to have this whole scene where there's this epic opening action sequence, which I would like to point out Batman versus Superman did not have. It was not an epic opening action sequence. And because they had to have that, it's this ridiculous magical battle. And I was just laughing the whole time. And then the battle ends, and then they cut to Doctor Strange. And I'm like, oh, now the movie's starting.
Yeah, why, do we ever find out why Mads Mikkelsen has psoriasis on his eyes?
Because he's trying to tap into Dormammu, or how the fuck you say it? I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to spell it. I was trying to have a text conversation with Midsider Michael after it, and neither of us could spell it, and we just kept putting SP question mark after the word Dormammu. So because he and his followers have tapped into this evil entity from the multiverse who only wants to eat our universe, it's given him, that's like the physical manifestation of it.
Galactus?
I did read some speculation that this person, this Dormammu or this being, will sub in for Galactus because the final four rights, which Galactus is part of, are still, they still belong to Fox.
Oh, okay. It's like, cause they could just call it Galactus, that'd be much easier.
They can't, they're not allowed, just like they can't say mutant.
Yeah, stupid. All right, well, I will probably see this in 3D IMAX. Faiza is interested in seeing it, so.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's entertaining. Like, I would say don't see Civil War because it's boring. But I was legitimately entertained for this movie. Like, Civil War, I was falling asleep. I could only think about how badly I had to go to the bathroom. I was legitimately entertained for this movie.
By a Marvel movie. Hmm.
Yeah. It was the closest thing they've done to the original Iron Man. It almost felt like sort of a reboot. Like, I've seen speculation that after the next two Avengers movie, Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man and Chris Evans Captain America are going to leave, and then Benedict Cumberbatch is going to become the center of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They made a good choice doing that. The problem with this movie is... Yes, were you going to say something?
I was going to ask if that sounds like something he wants to do, but...
The interviews I've seen, unless he's just a team player, he is super excited about it. Like, he keeps talking about interacting with all the other characters in Infinity War and everything. He could just be a team player, but I would assume if you sign up for Marvel at this point, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. I just thought it might be, like, a thing to pay the bills. Because this is the guy who did the Intimidation Game. So.
It's the Imitation Game, I believe.
I know.
So, do you want to know the problem with this movie?
Well, it was made by Marvel, so it's bound to have horrible ideas.
And that's exactly the problem. This movie is altruism in its most distilled form. So if you think about what they tried to do with Iron Man, where his ego was the problem and he had to learn to be selfless, They took that and they put it on steroids. He's basically Dr. House, who does the opposite of what House does. So the brilliance of the last season of House is, it's all about him learning, oh, well, I have to do what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is amazing about that somebody actually did that. You know, he even fakes his own death to get out of his debts and his responsibility as a doctor, and you're supposed to love that. You're supposed to think that's a great thing, not hate him for it. Well, here it's the opposite. The last lesson his mentor teaches him, Doctor Strange, is literally, and this is word for word, you don't matter. And he has to give up everything he loves in order to save the multiverse. Give up the woman he loves. He can no longer be a doctor. They literally make it so he has to choose. Are you going to use your powers to heal your hands, which he hurt in a car accident? Or are you going to use your powers to save the world? Because you do not have enough ability and there's not enough energy in the world to do both. You can't both heal your hands and exert the mental energy to save the world and use your powers otherwise. Those two things are not congruent. And he had to choose. And he also had to give up the woman he loves.
Sounds pretty specious to me. But...
What?
Seriously, not enough energy? Like, okay, you have enough energy to save the entire world. In fact, the multiverse. But you can't tack on you know, 0.5% to make your hands better? Like, really? We really tapped it out there?
Well, that's in reality, you're right. It's a very easy way to write around it. But that's the point, is the fact that they wrote it in that way.
Yeah.
And I won't even go into the climactic scene because it concretizes it even further. But I will say this. I will contrast this with Batman versus Superman. Batman versus Superman is, this is my world. You are my world. That is the complete 180 degree opposite of this. And anyone who cannot see that, I question your ability to think, and I question your ability to understand what you've seen. That is a very simple dichotomy to me. Is that an obvious dichotomy, or is that just my education level?
No, it's it's an obvious dichotomy, but it's why people explicitly reject Snyder and his heroes and want the Marvel heroes, because it's that exact sort of, they want the Cumberbatch, you are worthless. They want the Marvel, you need to sacrifice everything, because that's the heroes they want. That's what they're told is a heroic action. And when they look at Snyder's heroes who are fighting for their own values, that is not a heroic action to them. It's a selfish action, and thus it is necessarily bad.
Why do you think, beyond them being told that's what a hero is, do you think there's a level of comfort in knowing that the hero is going to sacrifice everything for them?
Well, it's certainly to mass psychologize a level of like, well, I don't have to worry about, it's the sort of Lois Lane falling off of a building joke, where at some point she's just like doing her makeup and on the phone because she knows Superman's going to be there to save her. Same kind of thing. Like, if sacrifice is the cardinal virtue, I know there's going to be someone there to save me because it's their moral duty to do so.
Right, which is ironically selfish, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. But now we're... I mean, well, it's not selfish in the self-centered, it's self-motivated.
Yeah, it's
the bad form.
I was using selfish in the colloquial sense.
Yeah, in the colloquial sense, it is selfish. But that is what altruism is.
Yeah,
it's,
and there was something
self-centered.
Else. Right.
Narcissism.
I agree. Right. I agree completely. And building off of that, there's something else this movie made me realize. So if you look at all of Snyder's movies, there is nothing metaphysical. There is nothing inherent in the universe that is good or bad. The world simply is. And the men in the movie and women simply mold it and treat it as they see fit, correct?
Well, that's a heavy, heavy comment. I would have to really think about that. But let's assume your premise for a moment.
Assume my Snyder expertise. Can you just give me that?
Yeah. Go ahead. Assuming your premise for the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really a romanticism versus naturalism critique is what it is. But I'm building towards that. In this movie, the villain is tapping into something that's metaphysically in the universe that is bad to do bad things. So he is not simply saying, I am making this choice to be bad. He is identifying reality and saying, oh no, I think this can be used differently. This is how we're going to use it. But the thing he's identifying is just the existence of pure evil. Evil is metaphysically real in this reality and independent of human beings. That is much more naturalistic.
That is interesting.
I think that's very revealing of that style of storytelling.
There's an essay there. Definitely.
This was my essay.
Fine.
I'm
all right.
As it develops, we'll see what happens, the way they handle things like Thanos. I am probably at this point pot committed through the first Avengers because of Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man through the two Avengers movies. So we'll see
what happens. Pot committed. Are you sure you're not committing the gambler's fallacy?
Probably.
You've already lost $100,000. You got to make it back up.
Yeah, but I did that otherwise as well. So we know that we know that I commit that fallacy quite often. This woman, this succubus is draining my life, but I put so much into this. All right, trailer takedown.
Trailer takedown.
First trailer. There's a new Wonder Woman trailer. What did you think of this one? Hug or tackle? And in comparison to the first one.
Hug, but probably in a way that would get me slapped.
Interesting.
So I love this trailer. This is an awesome trailer. This looks like it's going to be a great movie. Again, we're setting up, though, a Wonder Woman universe dealing with the same kind of question Superman is dealing with. Like, what is so good about the world that I would want to save it? What am I fighting for, actually? And I think that's a fascinating question. And especially in this, I assume we're going to have a Wonder Woman who chooses at the end to stop fighting, right? Because that's sort of what we're... That's sort of revealed at the beginning, I suspect.
Well, yeah, it's the prequel to Batman versus Superman where she has to re-decide to fight because she makes the same decision in Batman versus Superman that Superman did. Her story echoed Superman's.
Yeah, indeed. So where Superman is sort of decides to fight before that, this is going to be why she decides to stop fighting, I think. So I think that's going to be a fascinating look at superhero psychology here in the Snyderverse. And we're going to see it via a lot of tremendously awesome ass kicking. And Gal Gadot just looks fucking stunning in every conceivable way. Yeah, I'm all in. Hug, hug, hug. Slap.
Well, I'm going to push back on you a little bit. And I'm going to tentatively hug this. Because compared to the
How
first
dare
one...
you?
Compared to the first one, how dare me? You're the one sexually assaulting the trailer.
Yeah, but she can handle herself, so.
That's true. I don't think you could sexually assault Wonder Woman.
That's right.
Compared to the first one, this one was troublesome. It still had all the same great stuff. You can see the Snyder influence all over it, especially visually. The way it looks like a painting, right? And by the way, I shared those posters with the thread, right?
Yeah.
The new Wonder Woman posters
are stunning.
Oh my god! Like, if the movie is great, I will own those posters. They're beautiful pieces of art. Yeah. Like better than 90% of the modern art. Like if you go to down to LACMA in downtown LA, the Museum of Modern Art, the Wonder Woman posters are better than everything that's in there.
It's the museum with the forest of lampposts outside.
That everyone takes a picture in front of.
Yes.
It's the museum where they have the rain room, where they go in and you simulate rain.
Yes.
Fucking California. Indeed. But there was actually something in this trailer that worried me. Did you notice what? She said it was her duty to save the world?
So, I didn't notice that. And it's probably because you can't take anything in the trailer... as it's going to be a line in the movie I've even found in fucking Snyder trailers, or it's going to be a big part or
any
all
trailer.
She might say it offhandedly. I think all you can take from trailer are broad sweeping generalizations of what's going to go on. I sort of already reject your scaredy cat here. It's going to be okay. It's a Snyder film. It's going to be all right.
But I'm worried because of the influence of Geoff Johns. And what I'm worried about is they're going to have the broad Snyder strokes and then a contradictory underlying sort of dialogue and character motivations. That's what I'm worried about we're going to have from now on in DC.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm all in. I'm all in. This looks phenomenal.
All right. Well, you can be... my hope and optimism for this movie. I'm going to be tentative about this movie.
Hold on. Faiza, Wonder Woman looks great, right?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It'll be an understatement.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we just had a moment on this podcast.
That's the power move.
Yes, that's right. The power move.
Are we going to get her on the show now? Or are you going to like force her to get on the show like with Nia on
like
the Bill Burr?
What Bill Burr does?
Yeah.
Nah. She's loud enough to be on the show from the kitchen.
Well, so is Nia, but he like always argues with her for like 20 minutes.
Her chain is not long enough to be outside it.
Mm-hmm. She says her chain's not long enough to be outside the kitchen.
Okay, you want to do the next trailer?
Let's do it.
Okay, Wilson. This is starring Woody Harrelson, and he seems to be...
Who plays a volleyball?
Yeah, appropriate that we're referencing the comment that said the Wilson episode sucks. Oh, Now people are going to get confused, Allie Rose.
That's right. And just to be clear, we do love you. Thank you for writing us a review. We're sort of ironically picking on you to pick on ourselves, but
do you not understand how my humor works? People out there, if you don't understand how my humor works, welcome to the midside. I'm making a face right now. My hands are in the air and I'm making a very Italian face right now. So Wilson,
he mentioned the name of the show in the show. It's very meta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to the midside. Wow. Wilson is starring Woody Harrelson and he plays an antisocial old guy, I think. And in the movie, he learns how to not be antisocial. That's what I took away. Is that a fair summary?
I would replace antisocial with unmitigated bastard.
Okay.
Yeah. But he learns how to basically be less of an unmitigated bastard. Yeah. The trailer he finds out his ex-wife put a child up for adoption and it's his child and he wants to sort of have a family because it seems, I guess, maybe giving a meaning to life. I'm not sure. But that's about as much of a story as I could discern from this trailer. And from that and the shitty Woody Harrelson acting, I am tackling this to the ground and then kicking it while it's down because, No. I get the better version of this on a daily basis with my wife, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. It's not fair. You're not the audience.
She's much more astute at her commentary and certainly a better actor than Woody Harrelson.
So why don't we make a movie about her?
I tried. It was a web series called Hostess, but no one wanted to make it when I was in California. Just kidding. I didn't ask you, but I didn't ask anyone. I was being facetious.
She's a woman and she's Pakistani. Like, the media would salivate over having a show starring someone like her.
Yes, indeed. I know. By the way, I thought, being completely on a tangent here, I thought of a show that the culture needs right now, and I thought we are the people to make it, by the way. So in the 60s, it's sort of a real deep cultural commentary satire. They did the show Hogan's Heroes. Are you familiar with this show?
Yeah.
It's a story, and for anyone who's not, it's a story set in a concentration camp starring Nazi soldiers, but it's a slapstick comedy right now, but we need a workplace comedy about the ineptness of the Islamic State.
Man.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Like ISIS at work or something.
It's called Mosque.
That's a little broader than we want to go with this. This wasn't Hogan's Heroes wasn't called All Germans. We want to do specifically ISIS. But I don't know how you do it. But it'd be like a workplace comedy where that's how inept ISIS is at trying to enact their caliphate. Mm-hmm.
Man, you're using words.
Wouldn't this be fun? We'd be great at it.
No, I think it'd be very, very good. We're doing a podcast right now, and you got my creative wheel spinning. So I am actually less harsh on this trailer than you are. I guess I enjoy Woody Harrelson more than you do. Did you like Zombieland?
It's fine, but it's because Woody Harrelson doesn't have to act.
Did you like Now You See Me?
No.
Okay. So I just think I like Woody Harrelson more than you do. So to me, this is like a movie I watch on Netflix when I have nothing else to watch, which my list is so fucking long. So this is a movie I would like to pretend I'm going to hug, but I'm just tackling it because, like, I'm never going to get fucking around to watching this movie.
Yeah, pocket tackle. That's what that is.
That's exactly what it's a pocket. All right. Last trailer, this movie's called Swing State, and it's about a douchey liberal who breaks up with his girlfriend and then pretends to be a conservative media personality and becomes a star, and it's a comedy. I'm just going to tackle this movie because I'm fucking sick of this shit of, like, liberals acting like being a conservative star is so simplistic. Just like I said, this idea that women are smarter than men exists in our society. Liberals try to create this myth that leftist liberals are more intelligent than Republicans, conservatives.
Yeah, isn't, I mean, not that I am a conservative, but I sort of identify with the right. And isn't it just insane how the left has tricked the media and the culture into thinking that their positions are still the intelligent counterculture positions, when every single nightly show, every single comedy show, I mean, fucking Daily Show and Samantha Bee and the Larry Wilmore and all of them are left. Every single one of them is leftist. Yet you can, it's, you can like collectively hear them thinking, look how brave we are with our counterculture opinions. Like, what the hell? You are the culture. You are not counterculture. For all the things that I hate about him, Donald Trump is counterculture. Way more so than certainly than Samantha Bee.
Yeah, I don't know Trevor if he's counterculture, Noah. But he is more than what's presented to us.
I mean, I think he certainly is counterculture to a large degree. It's a particular counterculture that I identify with.
Basically,
countercultures, but.
Basically, what they're competing against, they're battling against here is CBS. And what I mean by that is, who's watching The Big Bang Theory? Who's watching NCIS Bangladesh? Who's watching the MacGyver reboot? Because it's not us, right? Conventionally, they're saying it's old people watching it, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. They say it's middle America watching it. They have this idea in the media in L.A., on the East Coast as well, in New York, you know, they say there's a great country surrounded by two, the people in middle America say there's a great country surrounded by two coasts, and then mm-hmm. the people on the two coasts say they're better than everyone else. It's the idea that that battle exists. That's what they think, that those people are controlling the culture.
Yeah. Well, this movie, I was glad you went first, because I wasn't sure if this was like something an acquaintance of yours was working on, or like this is a Christina Wren project or something, because this is just an utter shit. Looks like a film that is going to be worse than a pile of dog shit. In fact, if you just filmed a steaming pile of dog shit, it would probably have more entertainment value than anything that's going to come out of this film.
No, I saw this after I watched another trailer, and I saw it on YouTube, and I was like, oh, this is something different we don't talk about on the show, so let's throw this on there.
Yeah, and this is coming from someone who is obsessed with political shows and political dramas and comedies. I'm all for this kind of thing. Fine. I mean, I even grant that their premise is somewhat interesting. All sort of accidentally becomes a conservative pundit, but you have to execute it in a way that's like, really hella clever and insightful, some like really incisive, biting humor. And this trailer is just one cliched nonsense joke after the next. And all I could think of was like, is funny? Is this what the left thinks is satire?
Yes.
It's just hackneyed cliche BS.
Well, the thing to compare this to is South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, or more specifically, the Book of Mormon. And when you're talking about being clever and being subtle, you know, you would think that that entire thing would just be a hit piece on Mormonism and religion. But when you get to the end of it, it's actually not. And it actually has important things to say about the role of belief and the role of religion and the value of Mormonism in specific.
Well, that's the thing about good satire, is that your characters have to be somewhat sympathetic. You have to understand their point of view in order for you to be able to satirize it. And this and many of the things coming out of the left just don't. They're just, every joke is Donald Trump is a racist. It's like at some point, I don't know, 9 months ago, this stopped being funny. It stopped being even remotely funny.
Yeah.
So tackle and then beat it in the back of the head with a shovel and then bury its dead body.
Oh, wow. I almost thought you went Negan on it and beat it with a barbed wire bat.
I don't speak your language.
It's The Walking Dead.
Like I said.
All right. You want to talk a little bit more about the election? Give our final thoughts on it before people go to the polls and such? Or maybe they're just watching the election coverage right now?
they could be watching election coverage right now. And if you are, I'm sure you're feeling depressed and disappointed, and that's regardless of who ends up being the winner.
Although
it's not inconceivable. It's not inconceivable that there's a tie, but I thought we were just doing this in lieu of the next segment, but okay, gotcha.
No, it's the first Reddit. So we'll do Reddit on Reddit. Sony stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way, EA blows, Steam rocks, got risk for my firefox. These things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma boring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't post it, but we will repost it. First Reddit. This is it. It's almost over. Tomorrow, the Reddit says, or today, as you're listening to this, we choose between Mr. Burns and Miss Krabappel. Good metaphor?
No. Nah. The first Reddit here is a better metaphor, by the way. It says it's more like we're choosing between Zap Brannigan and Mom, which is a Futurama reference. I think that's a way better analogy than... what's Mrs. Krabappel? She's a nonsense nobody character on the show. It's not like she's some corrupt mastermind. And Mr. Burns, it's more like that Hillary Clinton is better for the Mr. Burns character, certainly. Donald Trump is, I don't know, more like what is his name? I don't know. Dr. Nick. That's what I was thinking of. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Nick.
Isn't Donald Trump more like Charles Widmore from Lost?
I think Charles Widmore is more competent than Donald Trump.
Well, I agree, but what I'm talking about is, like, you think, like, he's this moral person the whole time, and then you get to the end and you're like, oh, wow, he's just as bad as everyone else on this show that we thought he was different then. He has the same erroneous premises.
Yeah, I guess I was more fooled by Charles Widmore than I was by Donald Trump, but I see your point. By the way, Billy West, who does the voice of Zap Brannigan from Futurama, has done a series of reading actual Trump quotes as Zap Brannigan, and it's fucking awesome. I love it. So
yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah, that's actually funny political humor right there. Like, if I have to hear Donald Trump is a racist who hates Muslims one more time, I might actually join the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with all of it is I'm too much on the Scott Adams side, where it's obvious they're building up this image of him that isn't true, and it just, that's why I'm glad this election is over and done with, regardless of who wins, because I don't have to hear this crap anymore. It's just so disconnected from reality.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, on this, in this Reddit thread, like, 95 people call him Orange Hitler.
I just realized I was clever? Shaking my head, and that doesn't play well. It's not
doesn't
good
make,
pod.
It's not good pod. Not good pod. Here's one thing I want to say about the election. If our country is so fucked at this point that we cannot survive the presidency of a Donald Trump or a Hillary Clinton, then we are not a country that deserves to go on. Do I think they will both be bad? Of course. Do I think they will both do horrible things that I will disagree with? Yes. But we are going to survive it as a country. And in fact, we have survived periods of time, I think, that are far worse than where we are now. Maybe not economically per se, but culturally definitely. The 60s were far worse than we are now. And we did come out of it a revival of rationality in the 80s and 90s. It didn't last for many reasons that I don't want to get into here, but it is possible that we can bring the culture back to a good place. As long as there is free speech, as long as there is free exchange of ideas, we can fix the culture. And then we'll get better politicians. We're not going to get better politicians, so we get better culture. Culture is necessarily upstream of politics. I don't care what anyone says. Lead the way. It cannot lead the way. Libertarians, I know you love thinking that politics will solve everything. It cannot and it will not solve anything. Fixing the culture, fixing morality will solve it. So get involved there. Read some Ayn Rand, have a coffee, and let's get this shit done. Because we got a lot of work to do if we want freedom, if we want any modicum of freedom in our lifetime. We've got a lot of work to do.
Education and entertainment. That's where it's starting right now. And then, of course, the third is the family. So those three things.
Yes, indeed.
Fix the education system. Get a diversity of perspectives in entertainment. That's why it's good you can see a Doctor Strange and see a Batman versus Superman. That is a good thing that both of those are available and they're both made on a high quality level. That is a very good thing. And then also, what is going on in the family right now and the psychological issues that are being created and not treated is a major problem. So those three things.
Let's do it.
All right. So based upon everything you said, let's do the next Reddit. What's your bold prediction for 2017?
Bold prediction. Well, if you believe the pundits, then a bold prediction would be something like the United States doesn't implode because of racism and sexism. I don't think that's a bold prediction because I think we're not that sexist of a country. Bold prediction for 2017. We will see another financial crisis and or housing market crisis. Some big financial apocalyptic thing that's going to really fucking hurt. And it's going to hurt a lot. And it's going to really suck for a lot of people. I'm not saying it's Great Depression level, but it's something that's going to hurt.
Ouch. Ouch. You're scaring me here.
We're just at a precipice and it's got to happen again because we didn't fix the issues with the last one. In fact, we made it down on the bad things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I got one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think people will get sick of social media in 2017. I think it's the year where we see people use less of social media and focus more on reality and what's in front of them.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? What a positive upswing that would be for the culture.
Yeah, how come our perspective switched on our predictions? Isn't that interesting?
I mean, the financial thing has nothing to do with the culture per se, but here's another one for you. I think this can't go without saying, and that's five, baby. Five rings for Tom
Brady.
Oh, you're
saying? I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to be the jackass, but...
Five rings for Tom Brady, and he becomes... I mean, he already is now basically the unequivocal best quarterback ever to live. But with five rings, anyone who would argue differently, you wouldn't even have to argue. You just look at them with this smile and you just shake your head a little bit and then you kind of chuckle and you walk away.
You don't even have to do that. Are you ready? This is what I'm going to do if he wins five rings. This is my ultimate argument. I just show them the back of my hand.
I like it. I like it.
So. I was going to make that prediction, but I decided to lay off of it. But
This will be the year the Cubs win the World Series. This is it. 2017 is it. Mark my words.
Yeah, Theo That's Epstein. Right. Quite a marker on history.
President.
All right, we're ready for the last Reddit here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm going to read a little bit of this one. So the title of this one is, traveling for work, a strange man barges into my hotel room while I'm sleeping at 2 a.m. Now, before I read, I just want to preface this. That gives you a certain expectation of what happened, correct? From
mm-hmm.
that title?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want you all in the audience, I want you to think of that expectation as I read a medium paragraph here and then a short paragraph here. These are a couple excerpts. I'm not reading the whole thing because I don't think it's worth reading, so... I was awoken at 2 a.m. this morning when a man entered my hotel room using a keycard and turned on the light. He did not knock. He just barged in. Fortunately, I was wearing a t-shirt and scrubs for pajama pants. But I sometimes sleep in the buff. What are you doing? Get out! I shouted, still half asleep. He saw me lying in bed and asked if I had just checked in. What? No, I've been here since Wednesday, I said. I'm not sure why I answered him truthfully. He said he was from security and apparently had entered the wrong room. I asked why he hadn't knocked, but he was non-responsive, apologized, and left, leaving the light still on. I jumped out of bed to deadbolt the door and turn the light back out, but trying to sleep again was futile. I was pissed at myself for forgetting to deadbolt the door before I went to bed, but I had been out drinking with some buddies and forgot before passing out. I'm currently waiting for my flight home to the East Coast, and the terminal is packed due to flight delays. I'm now really nervous every time a man stands too close to me. I hope I can shake this feeling in time for work tomorrow morning. Fingers crossed.
Jesus.
Why Jesus, Daniel? Why Jesus?
Maybe because he's the Son of God. What the fuck? Like, this story is so stupid. And from the title, like, a strange man barges into my hotel room, I'm sleeping at 2 a.m. Okay, one, he told you who he was. Talk to the hotel manager the next day, and we don't get a report here. They said, we don't have security guards to do that. That's not our policy. So apparently that is what happened. Responsive, but he answered to you that he was security, and he profusely apologized. Hey, security guard needed to check a room. There was a mistake on which room it was. Maybe he read the room wrong. Maybe the printed off the wrong room. Whatever it was, he answered your hotel room. Nothing happened, and he left and apologized profusely. What is the crisis here? Why are you afraid that if any man stands too close to you? And yes, there was a mistake made here. But everything that could be done to fix the mistake, to mitigate the mistake, was made. He asked you when you checked in, he apologized, and he left immediately. What the fuck do you want from this guy? What are you afraid of?
Well, the implication seems to be afraid that this seems to be that she's afraid of male sexual violence.
Okay, I mean, that can be the implication, but nothing about his behavior or anything indicates that he was going to be sexually violent towards this woman.
Well, and if he was, her saying, what are you doing, get out? How did that dissuade him? What did she do to dissuade him?
Yeah, this whole story is just much ado about nothing. This is women looking for rape culture and wanting to become a victim so they have more the moral high ground in all these scenarios. It's insane to me. Yeah, nothing happened. Get over it.
I agree completely, because on the other end of the spectrum, wouldn't this restore your faith in manhood? And what I mean by that is the fact that he just apologized and left, like, doesn't that speak to his goodness?
Yes.
Like, he didn't look, indeed. He didn't leer, he didn't even make a comment. He just literally felt bad and left. Like, he had the proper, I would say he had the proper emotional response.
Yes, indeed. I was using a bathroom the other day that had no lock on the door in a mall. And while I was washing my hands, a woman walked in without knocking and looked at me and said, oh, I'm so sorry. My God, I felt objectified. I cannot stand now close to a woman without thinking that she's probably objectifying me and wanted to use my body for sex.
Did that really happen to you?
The bathroom had no lock on it, or it was broken or whatever. I was washing my hands. I had already finished using the restroom, and she just walked in without knocking. It's like, who the fuck cares? Nothing happened. Everyone's fine. Jesus Christ.
The greater issue here is there's probably something else going on here that this person needs to deal with. Some sort of trauma from the past is my guess would be. That would be my guess.
Yeah, probably. Get some help. Stop going to the internet and acting like you're a fucking victim. You're not.
Yes, this I would say is virtue signaling. It's the, look, I'm a victim virtue.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Let's wrap this episode up. What did you learn this trip, Daniel?
Well, I learned that the Marvel Universe may have a metaphysical evil in it, which I had never thought about before, but is an interesting concept as to why Marvel is so naturalistic.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole victimhood thing of it, right? If the world is metaphysically evil, you are necessarily a victim.
Yeah. What did you learn this week?
I learned that I'm just going to listen to you about keeping my hopes up about Wonder Woman.
It's not all you're keeping up about Wonder Woman.
I wish. It's tough with all this conversation about trying to make her a lesbian.
Yeah, she's not a lesbian. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So, thanks so much, listeners. We appreciate when you tune in every week, and especially we appreciate when you tell a friend. Telling a friend is the number one way that we grow our audience here. I don't know how many people who listen to the show now who heard about it from someone who listened to the show before. It's that sort of exponential thing. Like if every listener tells two listeners, by the end of the year, we have an army of mid-side droids that can take over the universe. Like, this is a total Doctor Who shit here. We need you to tell a friend. Need you to tell a friend. Yeah, we know that you have to know someone at work or at the gym or at the playground who likes Zack Snyder, and we like Zack Snyder. That'd be great. If you don't want to tell a friend, if you're an antisocial, if you're shy, if you have no friends, like many of us, because we're lonely, just go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating there. You can go to all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all at themidside.com/podcast. And then for the people, the most loyal fans out there, the folks who we love and adore, Patreon. Now, we love all of our fans, let's be clear. But what we appreciate, people who are willing to go to Patreon, give us money whenever we produce content, things. And in particular, it's going to help us do a lot more promotion in the future, to reach a lot more midsiders through targeted advertising or special advertising campaigns that we're talking about. It's going to be really helpful to grow this show.
We're currently Patreon
subscribers.
Yeah. Currently, if you like a post on Facebook or on Instagram, or you retweet and follow on Twitter, you can win a couple Funko Pops, a Funko Pop Doomsday and a Funko Pop False God statue. You can win both of those. If you enter into the contest, check out our social media pages to find that contest.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all this stuff. But most importantly, tell a friend. Thanks so much. Love you.
This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day. Oh, have a day. I forgot Elliot wasn't here.